Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Another Democrat, a Democrat poll worker, was just ejected after he was caught electioneering and pre-selecting a straight Democrat ticket for at least two voters. Now, these are two voters who came forward. How many? Welcome back, everyone, once again to another episode of Red Pill News. I hope you guys are having a lovely day. Man, oh man, it was a big weekend. Not only here on the channel, I did some incredible shows, Garrett Ziegler, G. Edward Griffin, and more. You got to check it out. But over the weekend, a lot of news broke and some really important things happened. First of all, Greg and Catherine are out of prison. And we also got new information about the depth and involvement of Connick in U.S. election systems software and processes. You guys are going to want to hear about this for sure. And then we got to check in with David DePape and, of course, Paul Pelosi. It looks like California officials are still trying to cover up what exactly happened not so long ago in the living room of the Speaker of the House. And then we got to check in with Twitter, some news on Elon Musk and some of the celebrities that are using that platform. And then we're finally going to be discussing James Clyburn and his characterization of people who believe that our election might not be secure. We're going to round it out with a possible terror attack against none other than Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, because we're going to be right back after this. All right, my friends, thank you so much for sticking around. We're going to begin today with some very, very good news. Last week, Greg Phillips and Catherine Engelbrecht appealed their unconstitutional imprisonment in a non-criminal civil case to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And we received word over the weekend that Greg and Catherine have, in fact, been released from prison. Now, they have made a brief public statement since that time. And I guess tonight around 7 p.m. Eastern, I think on her Locals channel, Catherine is planning to go live. I don't know if Greg is going to be there with her or not, but we do know over the weekend President Trump mentioned this on Saturday night in Pennsylvania. Obviously, this is an extremely unfair, unconstitutional, and in my opinion, illegal action taken by a judge. But the good news is it has been overturned. Now, Greg had posted this meme on his Truth Social over the weekend showing himself in a orange jumpsuit. Obviously, this is just his face superimposed over somebody else's. But Catherine has announced that they have been released. This was the statement that she made. She says, breaking, Catherine and Greg released from prison. Statement from Catherine Engelbrecht. Those who thought that imprisoning Greg and I would weaken our resolve have gravely miscalculated. It is stronger than ever. They're going to come back fighting, let me tell you. The right to free and fair elections without interference is more important than our own discomforts and even this detention, now reversed by a higher court. The judge in this case is probably going to be steaming. She continues, we are profoundly grateful for that. We will continue to protect and defend those who do the vital work of election integrity, and we will make sure their findings become a matter of public record. Catherine Engelbrecht, True the Vote. Now, the article from 100% Fed Up goes on to include a portion from their appeal, and it's kind of interesting. It talks about the reasoning why they were imprisoned in the first place, and really, it's all about misunderstanding on behalf of the judge. He's not technical. He doesn't know what's going on, and the lawyer lawyers for Connick, they are arguing something that never happened. There was no hack into Connick servers that were not in China. There was an investigation which revealed this server in China contained the personal identifying information of American citizens. They're the ones breaking the law. They are the ones who should be paying the price, not Greg and Catherine, and certainly not in a civil case. Now, another very important aspect of why Greg and Catherine were imprisoned over this simple civil matter is something that is actually coming up in another case we're going to be discussing next. But it's a clear bias on behalf of the judge in this case against Greg and Catherine or against people that are working to secure the U.S. election system. For some reason, probably the media, probably messaging from the Democrats, they have convinced a number of individuals in a position of power across America that anyone who looks into the security of the election is somehow an election denier or is somehow racist or in some other way biased against people and trying to disenfranchise voters. That's obviously not what's happening. They were breaking laws, broke their contract. They kept American personal identifying information over there in China, and I'm sure they did a lot more. And that is actually the subject of the next story, because it is way worse than we thought. I brought this to you at the very beginning of this story when it broke about Connick, that Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, had Connick directly tapped into their voter information list. So that means that Connick had direct access to a very important part of the election critical infrastructure. Well, in Detroit, it is way worse than that. Apparently, they had a contract with Connick, which allowed them access to mass scanning of absentee ballots and for the checking of military ballot signatures. So how did this information come out? Well, right now, there is a case before the Honorable Judge Timothy M. Kenney in the Detroit area. It was brought by Christina Caramo, who's running for Secretary of State there in the great state of Michigan, and it has to do with those signature validations on overseas ballots. Now, this is in the Third Circuit Court. In this instance, it looks like Judge Kenney is also extremely biased against the counsel for Christina Caramo, and again, against anybody who is seeking to ensure that our election is safe and secure. Well, how do we know that? Well, the defense lawyer in this case repeatedly went on political rants against Dan Hartman, who's the counsel for Caramo, calling him guilty of exhibiting right-wing fever dreams, calling Christina and her team election deniers. And even more than that, he accused the counsel for Christina Caramo to be guilty of racism. Now, need I remind you that Christina Caramo is a black conservative female? She is running for Secretary of State. So if she's such a racist, then she must hate herself. But we know that's not what's happening. Now, getting to the aspect of the judge having a bias in this case, at about the 3-hour mark in this nearly 9-hour hearing, Judge Kenney blew up at the counsel for Christina Caramo, Hartman, when he asked how Detroit verifies signatures on ballots that are emailed to military overseas individuals. That seems like a perfectly logical question. How do you verify signatures? What is the process? Well, Judge Kenney didn't like that. He claimed that Hartman was attempting to disenfranchise votes from military members who are living overseas because he has a son who served 5 years overseas. That actually has no relevance to this case. And the fact that he's blowing up at the plaintiff in the midst of him questioning people that are testifying for the defense, it's absolutely absurd. Now, Hartman, of course, he didn't like this. He's not going to sit there and take this lightly. He said, what I'm trying to do is to prevent the person that's sitting in China who hasn't been to the United States or let alone Detroit in the last 18 years and who may not even exist from casting a ballot through a lack of election security. Right now, we have some major holes and the military overseas ballots are a massive aspect of that. He's also said, I'm tired of being called a racist by Mr. Fink. I'm tired of Mr. Fink saying I'm trying to disenfranchise the heroes in the military when all I'm trying to do is secure the election. And time and time again, we see this when good lawyers, good conservatives bring these cases trying to secure our election, either the judge is in on it or they have absolutely no understanding of the arguments that are actually being made. As soon as they hear about anything having to do with the election, they immediately tap into that propaganda, brainwashing delivered from the Democrats and the mainstream media, and they call these people election deniers. But as we've come to learn and saw in the 2020 election, election security is paramount to a free and fair society. And that issue has only grown more important to Americans since the 2020 election came and went like a massive hurricane through the political landscape of this nation. Now, besides asking about the signature verification process, Mr. Hartman also wanted to know about all of the drop boxes that are located throughout the Detroit metropolitan area. There are 20 ballot drop boxes, and I guess all of them are monitored by video surveillance, but we found out that that's not necessarily 24-hour camera surveillance. That means there could be dead zones where harvesters or ballot traffickers could sneak in at times when the cameras weren't working and then slip as many ballots as they wanted into that box and nobody would be the wiser. Now, when it comes to Connect, although Detroit is no longer using them in any sort of business sense, they've canceled all their contracts. It looks like Connect was deeply involved in the Detroit election system in a number of different areas, over and above that poll chief software and its ability to keep track of worker schedules, reach out to polling locations, send mass emails, letters or phone calls, or even recording the responses of poll workers. We also had two other areas that Connect definitely had contracts with Detroit. First of all, there was a contract they had for ballot fast scanning software. Apparently, this software would allow for the city of Detroit to scan 2,000 ballots per minute. That could potentially be a major problem, because when that scanning goes through that software, how do we know that the information that comes out is actually the information that comes in? That's the question that I think a lot of people have. But they also provided a mobile application for Uniformed and Overseas Citizen Absentee Voting Act. And this is that aspect that the council had mentioned earlier. Somebody who's sitting over there in China who claims to be an American citizen, but maybe has never been here, or the person that is getting a ballot in their name doesn't even exist. Maybe they were alive. Maybe they died. Who knows? There are all kinds of methods by which that election security can be cracked. This is a major vulnerability, and certainly considering Connect's connection to the Chinese Communist Party, it's something that we definitely have an interest in, and it's worth asking about. Now, the city of Detroit says their information is secure. They've canceled their contracts. There's nothing else that we have to worry about, but this is still something I think the people of Michigan need to be asking about. Now, with the access to these critical systems, once those applications have been scanned, what happens to them? Well, they are downloaded into a CSV. It's like a database. And then it gets uploaded to the qualified voter file. So information from Connect is going into Detroit's qualified voter file system. And then perhaps it's replacing or updating information that was already in there. They have to match that data to ensure that the people who voted are the people who are supposed to vote. And they did that with a piece of software that Connect built for them. So Connect, again, would have had access to the qualified voter file in the Detroit election system, very similar to what they had in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. So at the end of the day, Connect is still a major problem for U.S. election security and election integrity. We need to ensure that they are not being used in any municipality all across the nation. And until we get those answers from all of these places, we need to keep digging and we need to keep exposing them. So despite those widely publicized loopholes in our election system, the Democrats would have you believe that they are the only way to secure the future of our democracy. In fact, that's the latest messaging from the Democrats. They keep saying that democracy itself is on the ballot. I saw a sizzle reel of talking heads from all across the left-wing media over the weekend, and it must have been said hundreds of times in the last several days. He also had the gall to compare people who are interested in election security, what he says are election skeptics, to Nazis and fascists in an interview that he did on Fox News Sunday. Absolutely incredible. He said, "I taught history, and I'm telling you what I see here are parallels to what the history was in Germany and Italy. If you don't vote for Democrats, Clyburn would have you believe, then of course Nazis and fascists are going to come into power. If they don't vote against the liars, people who will lie, That's the Democrats. Clyburn is projecting. Know full well when they're lying. We all know they are lying. Yes, we all know when you're lying, James Clyburn. This was the cleanest election in the history of the country. Lies. Donald Trump's own appointee said it was the cleanest in the history of the country. Just because he was Donald Trump's appointee doesn't mean it was a factual statement. He says, so if they are lying, they're denying, they're trying to delete, they're trying to nullify our votes, vote against that foolishness. No one is trying to nullify anyone's votes, James Clyburn. You, the Democrats, are trying to nullify Republican votes because you want absolute and utter control, complete tyranny over this land of America. Now, let's talk about why people might have some skepticism in the security of our election. Well, certainly he's not going to mention this registered Democrat who was just found inserting a USB drive into a voting machine. I wonder why this man in Colorado would be subverting the election system by installing software on that election machine. I wonder what he possibly could have hoped to do by doing something like that. It's an illegal act. It certainly has a bad look for anybody who would consider this as something within their playbook. But this man, for some reason, inserted a USB drive into a voting machine in Colorado during the primary back in June. This is a case that involves felony tampering with voting equipment and misdemeanor charges of cybercrime and unauthorized access. Now, we don't know what his motives are, but to me, it appears that we can probably guess what they are. He's a Democrat. He's tampering with the election system. He probably was trying to ensure that Democrats were the ones who were winning, at least on that particular voting machine. Let's look at another example in the city of Carmel, Indiana. Another Democrat, a Democrat poll worker, was just ejected after he was caught electioneering and pre-selecting a straight.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Democrat ticket for at least two voters. Now, these are two voters who came forward. How many other voters that showed up to vote early and were helped by this Democrat poll worker, whose name is James Zhang, that's a Chinese name, also were forced to vote straight Democrat? He also told people that were coming in to vote not to vote for what he claimed were racist school board candidates. They were Republicans and they care about what their children are learning. There's nothing racist about it. But this has happened in at least multiple instances. We have witnesses to everything. People were concerned because this guy chose Democrat for them. That's not what they wanted to vote for. And they had to go get somebody else involved to get it fixed. James Zhang would have had them believe that he didn't know how to fix it. How many people came in to get help voting early and were helped by this Chinese immigrant, James Zhang, and were then forced to vote Democrat? Now, how do I know he's a Chinese immigrant? Well, I found his Facebook, found his wife's Facebook. I did a lot of research on him. This guy is definitely off the boat. He is a certified public accountant in this area. He's 65 years of age. I'm not going to dox any of his private information, but this is all stuff you can find on the internet if you do a little bit of research. There's a lot of James Zhangs out there on Facebook, but I was able to find him. So you can find him if you want to. And it's quite obvious based upon the photos and the trips that they're taking back and forth to China and also the language and the things that they're saying in their posts, they are definitely Chinese immigrants. If they were Taiwanese immigrants, then they would be pointing to Taiwan, but they're not. They're pointing to mainland China. So this is very concerning to me. This is another case of someone with a Chinese background getting into our election system and hoping to rig it for the Democrats. All right, for the remainder of this story, I'm going to have a guest host. This is Lucy. She's going to be helping me out here with this story about James Zhang. Now, of course, the Hamilton County Republican Party, which is where Carmel, Indiana is located, they understand the importance of this story and how it could be so devastating to our election system. Electioneering is a crime. Now, they put out a press release saying that this poll worker was removed from this early voting site for his electioneering practices. It is illegal. Hopefully, he gets charged and convicted. But at this point, all we know is that he was removed and no further action has been taken, except for the actions of the Hamilton County Democrat Party, who, of course, took this as an opportunity to confuse and obfuscate the voters of this area. They claim that James Zhang was doing something noble by telling people working at this poll site that there were GOP-endorsed activists and candidates who were too close to an election machine. These people were standing outside, and they were the sufficient distance away from the actual voting area. They were doing nothing wrong, and they were not the ones who were removed. I remind you, it was James Zhang who was removed by the election workers in that precinct for electioneering, which again is an illegal act. Now, James Zhang also had his own announcement about his activities. He says, "I was an early voter poll worker at the Mercy Road Church early voting site on Thursday, November 3rd. Mercy Road Church's voting machines are placed right in front of outside clear glass windows to the north and west. I observed persons outside the windows with red t-shirts containing the names of Republican-endorsed Carmel School Board candidates. I reported it to Christine DeKaiser, who agreed this was not right, and agreed to discuss this issue with the inspector, Sheila Puckett. The inspector did not take any action and did not ask these people just outside the clear glass window to move." Now, he continues and makes mention of the allegations, but he doesn't take accountability for them, and he doesn't even say that he was the one who was accused of committing them. He says, "At the end of the day, the inspector indicated there was a problem today. One of the poll workers who was alleged to have told voters not to vote for the Republican-endorsed Carmel School Board candidates because they don't care about diversity, and a poll worker cannot tell a voter to vote straight ticket Democrat. The inspector did not name me as the person who did that. I returned home about 7:30 p.m., and at about 7:40, I received a call from Beth Scheller, who told me that the inspector had made the above allegations against me, and I would not be allowed to work as a poll worker for the next 2 days. I categorically deny these allegations and would point out that at no time during the early voting on the 3rd did the inspector call me aside to confront me with these false allegations. I am willing to come forward and testify under oath consistent with the above." Well, as we've learned in many cases in the past, just because people are willing to testify under oath or swear to their not committing illegal criminal activities, it has no bearing on the reality of whether or not they actually did it. James Clyburn, when you talk about election deniers or people who are skeptical of our election system, it's because we know about stories such as this. Instances where Democrats are attempting to influence the votes of people showing up to vote early, and instances of Democrats attempting to cyber hack into voting machines so that they can most likely make sure that Democrats are winning the election. And it goes all the way back to Connick. So there is no such thing as election deniers. There are only such things as election integrity supporters. So while we can point to direct evidence that both the Chinese and the Democrats are working to subvert our election system, it would appear the FBI doesn't want to be left out of the mix either. You see, over the weekend, Carrie Lake's campaign headquarters in Arizona received several suspicious packages and letters, including notes that had vulgarity scribbled on them and threatening messages against Carrie Lake, but they also included white powdery substances. One of her aides opened a letter. It included the eponymous white powdery substance. Obviously, I think the implication is supposed to be that it's anthrax or some other type of thing that's going to make them sick or poison them. So what does the FBI do? Well, of course, they come in to investigate because it's a possible terrorist threat. But rather than testing the substances in those envelopes and clearing the office for safe use, remember, the election is tomorrow, they shut down Carrie Lake's campaign headquarters, not only for the remainder of the election, but indefinitely, at least through the end of the year. Apparently, Carrie Lake, at this very critical time in the midterm election season, is not going to have access to her staging ground, to all of the tools that are contained in that office. She's not going to have the ability to deploy people from that office to make sure that she continues her get out the vote effort. They clearly do not want Carrie Lake to win this election in Arizona, but I'm going to make a prediction right here. Despite the fact that she won't even have her campaign headquarters to use, Carrie Lake is still going to win. And come January, she will be the governor of Arizona. Katie Hobbs is going to be crying in her beer for the remainder of the year, and her political career in Arizona is done. All right, now before we round out the video here, I just wanted to bring you this latest bit of information I received about David DePape. He is, of course, the illegal Canadian alien that was alleged to have attacked Paul Pelosi in his home in his underwear at 2:30 in the morning. Well, apparently David DePape is being held away from ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I mean, if he is an illegal alien, this is totally normal that they would come in, they'd want to interview him because, of course, they're supposed to deport him. But for some reason, California officials are denying ICE access to David DePape. Maybe it's because they don't want anybody talking to David DePape. You know, one thing about this is that nobody seems to want to let any information about this get out other than what the Democrats and the mainstream media are allowing to get out. The officials there in California are doing everything they can to keep DePape under wraps. We haven't seen the video footage from the security cams. We haven't seen the body cam footage from the police who showed up. We didn't get a chance to be in the courtroom with him when he allegedly pled not guilty, but also admitted to having done these acts. So why is it that this story is so full of holes? And why is it that California officials don't want anyone talking to David DePape? Well, I'm starting to wonder if David DePape really even exists. And it's a little bit hyperbolic here, but who is David DePape? What does he actually believe? What does he think? What was his reasoning for being there at the house? We can speculate all day, but until we hear from the man himself, that's all it's ever going to be. And perhaps that's the way that California wants it, because as long as there's some level of mystery surrounding this story, they can continue to try to spin the narrative that David DePape is some right-wing QAnon adherent who believes in conspiracy theories and wanted to break Nancy Pelosi's kneecaps. And that's the only reason he was there. Definitely not because he met Paul Pelosi on Grindr. Definitely not because he was there at 2:30 in the morning in his underwear to get a little bit of action. Definitely not for anything like that. All right, and finally, just a little bit of news on what's happening over there in Twitter world. Now, I am still not back on Twitter. They have not approved my appeal to my banning. I've seen a lot of my friends try to start Twitter accounts, and they've been banned again in pretty short order. They've gotten shadow banned if they haven't been outright banned. Tweets have been removed. Looks like pretty much the same content moderation regime is currently in power. So maybe a little bit down the road, I'll be able to get on there. But one of the interesting things that Elon Musk has announced since taking over Twitter is that for a small fee, $8 a month, you can go ahead and get your own Twitter badge verification. But what's really surprising is that it's now come out that this isn't the first time Twitter was charging people for the luxury of having that blue checkmark. In fact, apparently there was a very exclusive club of employees at Twitter that were selling these verification check bars for $15,000. Now, this came out as a story from several people that had accounts on Twitter, high-profile people, and there was a lot of anger and animosity from people in the Twitter sphere that have these blue check marks for the fact that Elon was going to sell them for $8 a month. And maybe the reason they were so upset is because they paid a $15,000 fee. Obviously, this is not how it was supposed to work. People were supposed to fill out a form, and then they were supposed to be checked by people who worked at Twitter. If you were the legitimate person, like a public figure, then you're supposed to get yourself a check mark. But in many instances, I guess people were just bribing Twitter officials to give them that blue check mark. Now, we have seen this story from the Wall Street Bets account. He said Twitter employees were selling verification for upwards of $15,000. For certain accounts, mine included, they would refuse to verify you through the standard application. And then Elon Musk confirmed that it actually happened. He replied to the Wall Street Bets chairman and said, "Yup, that seems to me to be an affirmative." So now we know that Twitter employees were engaging in this illegal business practice. And I would imagine that communication on those illegal $15,000 bribes probably went through Twitter DMs. So this is something that I had predicted long ago. Any number of crimes that were committed using the Twitter platform, Elon is going to own all of those communications. And I certainly hope those people at the very least are going to be fired. But perhaps maybe there will be some charges that can be brought against them. And maybe there will be some legal liability for them in other ways as well. I really like the idea that Elon Musk is changing things at Twitter for the better. But first and foremost, we've got to get on this content moderation thing. Now, one thing that has uniquely happened in regards to content moderation on Twitter since he took over is the suspension, the permanent suspension of Kathy Griffin. Why? Because she impersonated Elon Musk. She changed her name on Twitter to Elon Musk. And Elon had made this announcement that going forward, any Twitter handles engaging in impersonation without clearly specifying charity will be permanently suspended. Previously, we issued a warning before suspension, but now that we're rolling out widespread verification, there will be no warning. This will be clearly identified as a condition for signing up to Twitter Blue. Twitter Blue being that $8 a month subscription service. Well, Kathy Griffin wanted to push the envelope. She changed her name to Elon Musk, and she effed around and found out. And so now Kathy Griffin and her 2 million followers on Twitter are no longer going to enjoy each other's company. And perhaps the world is a better place as a result. Now, finally, Elon Musk has spoken out about who you should be voting for come Election Day tomorrow. The most important midterm election of my lifetime. And yes, my friends, democracy is on the ballot, but not in the way that the Democrats would have you believe. If you believe that you want America to be destroyed, if you love economic insecurity, if you love racism and hatred and everything that's terrible about what the Democrats represent, well, then, my friends, you must vote for the Democrats. However, Elon Musk believes that you should probably be voting for a Republican in Congress. He urged independent voters to vote for Republicans this midterm. Now, he's not talking to everyone per se. However, it is a general recommendation. But he made a very important point. We have, you know, a certain number of Democrats. We have a certain number of Republicans. Now, each of those groups are pretty much guaranteed to vote with their political party. But it's the independent voters that really are the wild card here, because we do have a lot of independent voters all across America. He said, I have overwhelmingly voted for Democrats historically. Like, I'm not sure. I might never have voted Republican, just to be clear. But now, this election, I will. The administration doesn't seem to get a lot done. The Trump administration, leaving Trump aside, there were a lot of people in that administration who were effective at getting things done. It's hard to tell what Biden's doing, to be frank. The real president is whoever controls the teleprompter. The path to power is the path to the teleprompter. Maybe he would want to transpose those. The path to the teleprompter is the path to power. Now, on Monday, right before the midterm election, earlier this morning, Elon Musk urged all independent voters to vote for Republicans. This is what he said to independent-minded voters. Shared power curbs the worst excesses of both parties. Therefore, I recommend voting for a Republican Congress, given that the presidency is Democratic. Hardcore Democrats or Republicans never vote for the other side, so independent voters are the ones who actually decide who's in charge. I agree with Elon Musk in this instance. I would hope that many Democrats who otherwise never would have voted Republican will this time around, because their lives have been so devastated by the decisions of this illegitimate regime. And certainly, I feel that there are many independents out there who agree with me on that, and they understand that the Republicans who are running in this midterm election season really have their best interests at heart. They're going to represent the people, people such as my friend J.R. Majewski. If you're in Ohio, please vote J.R. Majewski. Every single person watching this broadcast today, get out and make sure you vote. Go to the polling location tomorrow. Show me that sticker. Tag me on Truth Social or wherever you post your social media, and I will happily share that all over my feed. Thank you very much for being here. All right, my friends, I have made my position on the importance of this election cycle known on a number of occasions, but I'll say it again just to drive the point home. If you made it to the end of this video, then you are a political warrior. You are somebody who cares about this nation. You are a true patriot, and I need you to go out and vote tomorrow to ensure that your ballot gets cast and that you're voting for the Republican candidate. This is no time to waffle on the need for unity. We stand poised to remove the Democrats from power in a spectacular and overwhelming way. Yes, they will try to cheat. Yes, they will have jackbooted thugs in place in places like Detroit, ready to intimidate Republican poll workers, ready to stuff the ballot boxes, ready to tell you you're a racist and a COVID denier and to get the hell out of the count room. But we need to have so many of us there, fearless, brave political warriors, people who are not going to back down in the face of intimidation, violence, and threats from these jackbooted thugs who want to take our republic and shove it straight down the drain. We have to have so many people on the ground voting tomorrow that there's no way they'll successfully be able to steal the election in all of the states where people are going to be casting a ballot tomorrow. You, my friend, are the future of this nation, and without you, we will not survive. So make sure you get up early tomorrow, go in and vote, and tell the Democrats to get hiking and go home. We don't want them in Washington, D.C. We want Joe Biden out of the White House because he never belonged there in the first place. Thank you very much for being here. I'll be back later on tonight at 10:30 p.m. on Badlands Media with Patel Patriot, John Harold. We're going to be doing another episode of Baseless Conspiracies with John and Zach. So until that time, good luck and God bless. We'll see you tonight.